We are working through a series on God's attributes. You say, when is this thing going to end? It's coming to an end. And we're getting close. And just so you know, I'm sad about that. I would love to go, you know, another 50 attributes. I don't know how many attributes there are. We're on less than 31. Just because for me, but you've already heard me say this many, many times, but I'm convinced there's nothing more important in life than knowing God and knowing Him well. And every time I'm struggling, it's because I'm not reflecting on the character of God. I'm not thinking well about Him. And so I've just enjoyed, personally, working through these. And tonight, we will consider yet another one. It'll be lesson 31 on the attributes of God. And according to my count, at least, we'll be looking at God's perfection. Let me start with a simple illustration. We all have strengths and weaknesses, right? All of us. So, for example, let's say you're a baseball player, and some of you enjoy baseball a little bit. If you're a really good shortstop, you don't hit a lot of home runs. If you're a home run hitter, maybe whatever, you're a first baseman, third baseman, you're bulky, maybe an outfielder. If you're a shortstop, you're wiry, you're thin, you could jump, you don't hit the long ball. Every ball player will have strengths and weaknesses. It's not only true in baseball, it's true in football, right? You might have a wide receiver who's thin and fast. You say, why don't you have him play offensive line? Because the defensive linemen would destroy him. They would run over him, push him down, and step on him, okay? That's what would happen. Every ball player has strengths and weaknesses. I think that's true spiritually. Is it not true that spiritually we have strengths and weaknesses? Even really godly people. You know, for example, take the Apostle Paul. What kind of guy was Paul? Strong leader. He had a plan. He was the man. He knew where he was going. He was going to live for Christ. He'll die for Christ, right? You think Paul was an easy guy to hang out with? Barnabas didn't think so. And we were at the Wilds recently, and our brother Chris Anderson did a series of studies on Barnabas, which were a great blessing. And he reminded us, right? When John Mark drops off the missionary team, Paul's like, no worries, full speed ahead, let's move forward, we'll get Silas. And Barnabas is like, no, we need to rescue John Mark. And there's a difference, and maybe sometimes our strengths are our weaknesses. And a guy like Barnabas was not the leader that Paul was, but the leader Paul was not the compassionate guy that Barnabas was. I think even the most godly people have strengths and weaknesses. It's true of everyone, but not God. That's what we mean by God's perfection. Let's define it this way. Here's how it is in Grudem's Systematic. God's perfection means that God completely possesses all excellent qualities and lacks no part of any qualities that would be desirable for Him. So we're coming down to the last handful of attributes. This one relates to all the other attributes. God completely possesses all excellent qualities. God's not like, yeah, He has these couple, but He's a little weak over here. We're that way. God is not that way. Let's talk tonight about God's perfection. And just two simple points, a little briefer. Number one, God is perfect or complete. He fully possesses all of His attributes, all of them. And an illustration of that would be in Matthew chapter 5. I'll begin here with verse 44 and 45. In Matthew 5, beginning in 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Okay, so what is true of our Father in heaven? He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. See, we don't do that, right? I mean, I wouldn't cause the sun to rise on the evil and the good. I would cause the sun to shine on the good, not the evil. The rain on the righteous, not the unrighteous, right? I mean, like if we're at war with another country, I don't know, in the Afghanistan war, Would you be burdened to go to Afghanistan soldiers and give them bottled water? Of course not. But God does. See, God's not a God who sends his rain where there's lots of Christians and then where there's evil people, no rain for you. God's goodness is more complete than that. God is a perfect God. And now the application to us. Obviously, we can't make it rain on anyone. But Matthew 5:46 then continues, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Now think about it, guys, if we're honest. Don't we have to work at loving those who love us? I mean, don't we pray, Lord, help me to love my spouse. Help me to love my children. Help me to love my grandchildren. And Jesus says, yeah, and even the tax collectors do the same. If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? In that context, Gentile would pretty much mean just an unbeliever. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And perfect, or whole. See, again, we're the kind of people who we pray, and we should pray, Lord, help me to love my family, my friends, and that's fine. Unsaved people do that. And you say, what about loving the people who hate you? Well, I mean, we don't even go there, but God goes there. Because, see, God's a perfect God. He is complete in all of his attributes. He's not just nice to some people, sending rain to some people, causing the sun to come up on some people. He is perfect. He is complete. Second and final point, number two, everything he does, because he's that way, everything God does is perfect, whole, or entire. His ways reflect his perfect character. So it says, for example, in Psalm 18, I'll begin at verse 25, reading from an NIV, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. Of course he does. God knows what is best. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. God knows what's best. To the pure, you show yourself pure, but to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. God knows perfectly how to deal with everyone. Continue, Psalm 18, verse 28. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I could advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. God is perfect. He knows how to deal with every person exactly the right way in every situation. He has wholeness. He has every attribute, and he knows how to exercise them in just the right way at the just the right time. Last verse, Deuteronomy 32, beginning in verse 3. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, that's Yahweh. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. His work is perfect. It's whole. It's complete. It's entire. God is a perfect God. Again, we struggle, and we realize that everybody has strengths and weaknesses. It's true with ball players, shortstops, don't hit a lot of home runs. Wide receivers, generally not doing well on the offensive line. Leaders like Paul, maybe lacking the compassion of Barnabas. Compassionate guys like Barnabas, maybe lacking the leadership ability of a Paul. We have blind spots, we have difficulties. I think everybody has them, but not God. God is perfect. What an awesome God we serve. He's perfect or complete. He fully possesses all of his attributes. Everything God does is perfect, whole or entire. His ways reflect his perfect character. Let's pray.